தான சீல பாவனை. ரிமெம்பர் டுடே தேர் இஸ் அ சிஸ்டம் ஃபார் யூ டு பிராக்டிஸ் திஸ் ரிலிஜன். சிம்பிளி யூ கேன் ஜம்ப் ஹியர் அண்ட் தேர். தான இஸ் தி ஃபவுண்டேஷன், சீல இஸ் தி டெவலப்மெண்ட், பாவனா இஸ் தி கல்மினேஷன், ஹையஸ்ட் அச்சீவ்மெண்ட். தீஸ் ஆர் தி த்ரீ ஸ்டேஜஸ். வாட் இஸ் தி மீனிங் ஆஃப் தான? தான டஸ் நாட் மீன் ஆஃபரிங் ஆஃப் ஃபுட். யூஷுவலி வி யூஸ் திஸ் வேர்ட் for offering of food or almsgiving. If not, we interpret this as charity. And the real meaning of dana is the method that we adopt in order to reduce our selfishness. That is called dana. If you practice your dana by maintaining your selfish ideas, there is no development or understanding in your mind. If you aim at heaven to go and enjoy your life by practicing dana, you did not reduce your selfish ideas. If you offer something, expecting something in return, material thing, you did not reduce your selfishness. The main purpose of practicing dana is to reduce our selfish ideas, because selfishness is the main cause of all our suffering. Physically and mentally, we experience so much problems and difficulties because of this selfish attitude, selfish desire. Without reducing this selfishness, whatever meditation you practice, you never experience any good result. Please remember this. You can spend for years, days and night saying you are meditating. If you are selfish, there is no development, there is no purity in your mind. If there is no purity in your mind, it is very difficult for you to cultivate that mind. Now this is the foundation. Now then the next one is called sila. Sila means discipline. There are three channels that we have to discipline: our minds, our words, our action. In our thoughts, there must be some sort of discipline. That is called mental training. Naturally, we have so many evil forces in our mind. We have not learned these things from others. They are intrinsic or the natural habits that we maintain or continue life after life. Within this lifetime, we use certain mental habits that we develop during the previous birth. While leading this life, we add some more habits according to our thinking, talking and doing things. Now this is a very big problem. Now when we take certain items like our selfishness, our anger or jealousy or grudge or greed or so many evil forces in the mind, we can understand that we have not learned this thing from another person. Not even from our father and mother. They have not given all these things to us. These are our own habits. So the realizations of this or the analytical interpretation or understanding of the nature of our mind . So Buddhism is known as doctrine of analysis. We never accept anything simply applying our faith at the beginning. We look at, we think, we try to understand. And this is called analytical knowledge. And this is the way how the Buddha has introduced his doctrine. So discipline we maintain in our mind by realizing the nature of the mind. Take for instance, if you are ready to admit that you are selfish, if you are ready to admit that you are jealous, if you are ready to admit you are hot-tempered, now that is called analytical observation to understand the nature of your own mind. And then you know how to discipline your mind. Yes, I am hot-tempered. Because of this attitude, I can create enormous sufferings, problems, enemies, difficulties. Then why not I try to suppress, to control this anger? And this is the advantage of that realization, that you are hot-tempered. Take another one. You come to know that you are jealous. Then you start to think, why should I harbor jealousy? What do I gain? Why not I allow others also to enjoy their life without interfering, without passing remarks, without criticizing? Leave them alone. Then you do not pollute your own mind. After that you can reduce your jealousy. You come to know you are very selfish. Always you disregard others. By adopting any kind of crooked or wicked or harmful method, any indecent or immoral method, you try to gain something because of your selfishness. By realizing the danger of this selfishness, you try to reduce this. Now this is the way how we discipline our mind. This is under seal. Let us come to the other item, words. How to discipline our words? Human vocabulary, the words, are the most dangerous Or human language is the most dangerous language in this world. In our language, we have so many dirty, vulgar, immoral, and harsh words created by us. So we use all these words either to harm others or to disturb others or to bluff others or to take advantage of others. We can use words and we can twist words. Other living beings have not learned all these tricks. That is why it is necessary for us to discipline our way of talking. When we talk, we must know how to use suitable words and terms and tone. When we talk, we must know to whom we are talking. Whether we are talking to a child or a lady or a religious man or a respectable man, to whom are we talking? We must know what we are talking about. What is the subject that we are talking? Is it useful? Is it important? By considering all these things, then talk. That is called discipline. We try to guard our tongue. Discipline our words. Then we never create misunderstanding. We never create enemies. We never create disturbances. If you know the art of talking, discipline in our words, discipline in our action. Whatever we do by using our physical body for our living, for our enjoyment, for various other purposes, we have to do certain things. Then we have to analyze, try to understand whether these actions are reasonable, whether they are harmful or not. The Buddha's way of advising people is this. Whenever you want to do something, he says, always you have to consider whether this action is useful to you as well as to others. You have to consider both ways. Certain things are good to others, but not for you. He says it is not advisable to do. Certain things are very good for you, but not for the others. Better not to do such things. Consider both sides. Now this is called right action. How to do things in righteous way, reasonable way, harmless way, respectable way. Action. In every action there must be discipline. That is called sila. And this is the way how the Buddha has introduced for us to practice this religion. Now let us come to bhavana, last item. Bhavana means meditation. Meditation is not the correct word. It does not give the meaning that the Buddha wanted to convey. Bhavana means development. Development in our mind. Now, what is this development? is going to develop? Can I develop your mind? Can you develop my mind? Can the Buddha develop your mind? Can a God develop your mind? Impossible. Remember this. The Buddha cannot develop your mind. The God cannot develop your mind. Another person cannot develop your mind. That is why in his teaching he said, Sacitta Pariyodapana. Try to verify your own mind. Because there is nobody else to verify your mind. You are the only one who can do that. But others can give you some ideas how to do that. And that is what the Buddha did. By realizing the nature of the mind, the way of thinking, the mental attitude, the character, the temperament, the moods, he has given some ideas, advices. And this is the method for you to practice in order to develop your mind. And this is the method for you according to your way of thinking. This is the method for you to practice according to your age, your education. That is why the Buddha is needed here. The Buddha cannot cleanse your mind. He cannot develop your mind, but he can give you correct method. God also cannot do that. That is why we have to struggle by knowing. First thing that you have to study, think, is to understand the nature of your own mind. You do not know the nature of your own mind. And you always pretend to show others that there is nothing wrong with you. You are very normal. But you are not normal. You have a lot of rubbish in your mind. So at the moment, you are controlling them, suppressing them by force. Any moment, when you release this thing, that you are controlling, keeping under control, immediately flare up. Under certain circumstances, your anger, your jealousy, your grudge, your greed, your selfishness, all these things flare up. Therefore, how can you say there's nothing wrong with you? Now that is the problem. Here the meditation is important for us to understand this nature of our mind. To understand where the mistake is. There are so many dark corners in our mind. So when we meditate to understand the nature of mind, what we do, we open the mind fully. When we open the mind, all those hidden dark corners can be seen. And that is why we have to continue to take out all the dark spots from the mind. If you close your mind, immediately all the dirt still remains in the mind. So what is the problem? Problem is, every second in our life, day and night, even while we are sleeping. We are going on accumulating good and bad thoughts in our mind. No one can live even for 1 second without doing that. Only a dead body can live without doing that. Living bodies can. But when you meditate, this is the advantage. What you do, you try to guard your mind. You close the windows and the doors which bring all the rubbish. Now, the mind is alone. Nobody to bring objects from outside. Mind is alone, but mind is very clever. Mind does not like to stay alone. Must have a companion, a partner. So what does it do? Create imagination, create thoughts according to our previous experience. Even the person who was born to this world, blind, deaf, who has never seen anything in this world, who has never heard anything in this world, still he knows how to create thoughts and imagination. How? Previous experience, the things that he has seen during his previous birth, the things that he heard during the previous birth, are still working in the mind. If the senses are not providing enough object at this moment, the previous experience creates the thoughts in the mind. When we sleep, at that time, senses are very quiet. You have to switch off the senses to sleep, otherwise we can sleep. Then the mind will become the devil's workshop, very active. We experience wonderful dreams. How do we gain these things? The mental activities that we have deposited in the subconscious mind, when the senses are not providing objects into the mind, when the mind does not create imagination, subconscious mind projects deposited thoughts, going on focusing, appear as vision, fillers, action, inaction, thoughts in action. This is called dream. So at that time also, poor mind has no peace. So when we meditate, what we do? We stop all the five senses, we stop imagination, the mind is alone, but mind cannot exist without taking then objects into the mind. There must be an object. So our duty is to find out a suitable object, hand over to this mind. Now then, that object must be a neutral one. Neutral. Cannot be very fascinating, attractive, beautiful, colorful thing. Cannot. In the mind, surrender. Cannot be very dirty, ugly, filthy, smelly thing. The mind rejects. Avoid from both. Neutral objects are the most suitable and harmless, practical object is our own breath. Then concentrate. Don't allow your mind to go here and there. Fix your mind. Now no more object in the mind. This is the only object. This one is very pure. Cannot create temptation in the mind. Cannot disturb the mind. Neutral. And that is the time that you recharge the battery in your mind. Remember this. Otherwise, every minute you are going on spending, discharging, wasting your valuable mental energy for unnecessary things. You use your mental energy through your eyes, ears, the nose and the mouth and the body. You use your mental energy by creating imagination. So all these energies that you have wasted, you can recharge when you concentrate in this way. After that you can strengthen your mind. The mind becomes energetic force. Mind become very healthy, can maintain sound mind. When the mind become healthy, physical body also become very healthy. But this is the initial stage, beginning, then continue. So when you continue this, just now I told you there are so many hidden dark corners in your mind. Since you have recharged, strengthened your mind, that mental energy can cleanse the mind, wipe out all the dark spots. Then the mind becomes clear and pure. After that, your mental energy becomes the strongest force. When you develop this mind up to that extent, there is nobody in this world who can disturb you, who can make you angry. In that mind, jealousy nil happy. In that mind, selfishness never appear. You use this mind to analyze what this body is. The selfish ideas that you had in your mind to maintain this body by harming others, bluffing and cheating others may appear in that mind. Because you realize these things are wrong. To maintain this dirty, ugly, filthy physical body for a short period, why should I disturb others? That is called realization. That is called noble life, righteous way of life. Now you can see the development in your mind. This is called bhavana. This is the word we use as meditation. Still, the main roots of our mental disturbances are there, not yet uprooted. Although we are good, we are understanding, we are harmless, we are religious, there is no guarantee that we never change our mind. This is the uncertainty in our life, in our mind. Many good people suddenly change their way of life and become very wicked and very selfish. This is how circumstances change the man to man. That is why it is necessary for us to dig down, uproot the main causes of all our problems. What are the main causes? Lobha, dosa, moha. These are the three. All the others, thousands and other, one thing. Either due to our lobha or dosa or moha. That means our selfish desire, our hatred or ill will, our ignorance or illusion. So we are facing all our uneasiness, unhappiness, unpleasant experience, unsatisfactoriness in our life, either due to our selfish desire, or due to our anger or ill will, or due to our ignorance or illusion. Now we are controlling them. We are not using them. But the mind is not pure. That is why changes can take place anytime. So when we continue this meditation, we try to uproot this selfish desire, this hatred, and this ignorance. But not so easy. Since you are not going to renounce this worldly life, and you are planning and thinking and working to lead the family life, worldly life, yes, it is natural. Please remember, you are not free from so many problems and burdens and responsibilities and the commitments and worries. If you are planning and working and doing things to lead a worldly life, at the same time you also must prepare to face so many calamities, problems, sufferings and difficulties. This is the nature of worldly life. You can go and pray to any god, any Buddha or any Bodhisattva. Problems are there. Whether you pray or not, problems remain forever. The Buddha's advice is, learn how to face facts in your life. There is no life in any part of the universe where there are no problems, no sicknesses, no worries. If you develop your craving for existence, you also must understand that craving for existence, craving for living, craving for survival also create enormous suffering. Now that is how selfish desire creates problems. when we practice this meditation, then we can go on reducing. It take long time. How to practice? Let us take a practical method. First, we have to stop craving for others' property. That is not very difficult. Don't crave for others' things. Now that is called contentment. Within your means, within your capacity, within your income, you try to adjust your way of life without harboring jealousy or without craving for others' things. After doing this, and then you realize, still you are craving for your own property. Yes. So one day, you will come to know, even this craving also creates so many problems. Responsibilities, burdens, no security, feel unhappiness. By realizing this, then you try to reduce, either handing over to others who are responsible for that, if not, contributing for a worthy cause, through understanding. And then you reduce that strong craving you had toward your own property. But still you have craving. You crave for this physical body. You are willing to kill others, even thousands of others, for your protection, for your survival. By analyzing, by knowing what this life is, you reduce this craving also. Why should I do dirty thing and wicked thing, immoral thing, to maintain this dirty physical body? This physical body is the most ungrateful thing in this world. From our birth up to the last breath, we have devoted, dedicated our whole life to look after this physical body. Feeding, bathing, cleaning, attending, washing. But in spite of all these things, this physical body creates enormous suffering. I have to suffer because of my physical body. I remember Confucius has said, I had to suffer in this world because of my physical body. If there is no physical body for me to hold, I never suffer. So wise people realize this is a real burden. Instead of developing craving and selfishness toward this, they regard this as a real burden to carry this, to look after this, to attend to this. We have no time to look after our life. Remember this, what I am telling you. We neglect our life, we attend to this physical body. Life is one thing, physical body is another thing. We misunderstood, thinking this is life. We have to look after yourself. One day, the Buddha met a group of young people. They were going on searching a young girl who has stolen their valuable thing. Then they happened to meet the Buddha. Then these young people asked the Buddha, "Did you see a young girl just now?" Then the Buddha asked, "Why do you want to know that?" "No, we are searching a girl." The Buddha's advice is, instead of searching a girl, he used his own language, "Attanam gaveseyat." Why not you look after yourself? Now you are searching a girl. Instead of searching a girl, why not you look after yourself? Yourself means your life. You neglect your life. You do not know how to make use of your life. You devote your time to look after this house. Repairing, every day you are repairing this house. Applying, painting, every day painting, whitewashing. How many times a day you apply paint? Cleaning, washing, every day. After that, applying so many things, so many gadgets. How many thousands of dollars you spend? You think you are spending for your life? You are wrong. You are not spending anything for your life, but for this dirty physical body. One day, during the winter, a beggar came to a house asking a piece of cloth to cover the body. He was shivering. At that time, a small child who saw this man who was standing outside shivering, asking a piece of cloth to cover the body. Then the mother came and asked, "What happened to the person?" And the child said, "I saw a poor man who was shivering ask the piece of cloth. I have given that piece of cloth to that man." The mother scolded the child, "Why did you take away this window? Mommy, can't you understand? This window does not feel cold, but that man feels the cold. That is why I donated this for him to cover his body." That child knew how to look after the life. He developed this, that feeling and understanding. But the mother could not understand this. So we are using all these gadgets, just like decorating our doors, windows and everything. We never decorate our life. What are the gadgets, cosmetics, that we have to use to beautify our life? Our kindness is one cosmetic. Our patience is another cosmetic. Our cheerfulness is another cosmetic. Our generosity is another cosmetic. Our patience and tolerance, all these are the beautiful cosmetic which can beautify your life. But your beautiful clothing, shoes, nice handbag, all those things hanging here and there cannot beautify your life, beautify your dirty physical body. So you never beautify your body, but only this. You never beautify your life. Beautify your body, which is impermanent, changeable, dirty, ugly, ungrateful. Beautify your body. That is what the Buddha says, "Attanam gaveseyat." look after yourself. You have a life. Attend to that life. So this meditation is the way for you to search, to understand where this life is, and what this life is, and how to make use of this life, for what purpose. I heard there will be another speaker this morning to take you to heaven. I hope I am not I have not interrupted you, so better to stop here. So may you have a nice time in heaven. Eh?